There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. And good to talk to my buddy, my man, who I think it's reverse psychology. I do, and I'm going to put him on the spot here in a second. Says, do not vote for him in the nappies. As you're, and I always tell y'all to vote for him in the nappies, because the nappies also, like, they look at their belly button. So there's nappy awards for people at Lanyap. And I always say vote Dale Leash. And Dale Leash, you say what?
Vote for my colleagues at Lanyap.
I think you really don't mean that.
Lanyap writer.
I do,
and I'll tell you why. I ask a lot of those three gentlemen. Not so much Tommy does his own thing, but like they stay on top of it. If I tell them to do something or I assign them something, they will. I'm at the point in my career now, Sean, where I write what I want for the most part, and then I tell them stuff I don't want, even if it has to do with the city of Mobile. I have Brady do it, or I have Kyle do it, or I'll have Scott do it. So they're doing the work, man. I'm just kind of leading the troops, and I occasionally, you know, I come up with story ideas, and I occasionally, you know, will pitch in or help out when I can. But I mean, they're doing the heavy lifting. I'm just around.
Uh-huh. Okay. So as I say, vote for Dale in the nappies. All right. And this is another question. This is a holdover from last hour. So Supermom had asked on the text line, when the causeway, let's say we're going to come westbound on the causeway. Okay, and we get to the Bankhead Tunnel. But then you turn, because we're going to go on the Africatown Cochrane Bridge, right? Cochrane Africatown Bridge. We're going to go that way. At that point, Supermom said, what does that become? Is it still the causeway? And I've always called that the Cochrane Causeway. Now, City Councilman Josh Wood said he thinks it could be either one. He thinks part of him wants to say that it's still just the causeway. Joshua says, Google Maps says, well, you can't do Google. It says Alt 90 and Old Spanish Trail. But what is the causeway still the causeway after the Bankhead when you're heading westbound?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
See, I think it's called the Cochrane Causeway, but... So I think it changes. So it's like, I don't know what the Causeway's official name is. Is it Jubilee Causeway? No, that's the Bayway. I don't know. Is it? It's just the Causeway.
No, Jubilee Parkway.
The Bayway, right. And then, yeah. But the Causeway, does it continue to be Causeway till it gets to the bridge up there to go across the river? Or does
I see what you're asking. No, you're right. It's the Cochrane Causeway. I was confused. But yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, so
once
there we
you
go.
Once you get past the tunnel... It's in the Cochrane Causeway.
See,
absolutely.
Very good. Very good. Another reason to vote for Dale in the nappies. so good. So we've answered that question. I want to read a couple of texts have come in here when I had a councilman on and asked the question, our online opinion poll question, ripped from your headlines about police chief and whether the police chief should live in the city. We asked that question, should they? And I think right now let me update this. Should the Mobile police chief be required to live in the city limits of Mobile? 88%. No, now it's changed. 90% say no. 10% say yes. I see text here. This one says, I don't think it's a big deal. The chief lives in your city in Somerdale. The fire chief lives in Pensacola and the police chief lives in Robertsdale. Several other people say, they should, and several other people say it doesn't matter. This is interesting. I mean, this came up in the past, right? Remember first term of Stimson?
You know, well, let me stop the person that made the comment about Somerdale. Do they realize how bad Somerdale is at policing? we had a whole cover story about how bad Somerdale is at policing. Y'all should look it up. You know, that was a speech. I grew up Loxley.
I know, and I think Somerdale, you just hate Somerdale because you're a Loxley guy, and you just hate Somerdale.
No, I have nothing wrong with nothing's wrong with there's not a lot there. If there's not a lot there, I could understand not wanting to live there. But like, it was a notorious speed trap.
Absolutely.
It was a notorious speed trap, and they weren't. I would say it was too much of a speed trap. So that would be my issue. Don't bring up Somerdale. If you're going to make this argument, bring up another one. I could totally understand the fire chief living in Pensacola. Pensacola is a lot better than Somerdale. I get it. I guess I'm a little flabbergasted that it's 90-10.
Yeah, well, I'm
a little flabbergasted that I feel like if, especially when you live in a city like Mobile, and you're the police chief, I think it's important to live amongst people that, you know, might have an opinion on how their police chief and the police department ought to operate. I agree that you don't want to limit your search to people that live in Mobile, but I think once they're hired, you need to tell them if they want the job bad enough, they'll move to the city. Like, you know, we used to have this isn't a Lagniappe rule. Everybody in Lagniappe lives in the coverage area, but we used to have a rule at newspapers I used to work at that if you worked at the newspaper, you had to live in the community you wanted to live in. I lived in Alexander City for years, worked at the newspaper there. Would have loved to have lived in Auburn, you know. It's just something you did because you didn't want to appear like you were coming from the outside and dictating. In the case of the newspaper, I guess it was more like you wanted to be a community member and write for the newspaper. Whereas, you know, I don't know if I want somebody dictating policy or having an influence on policy that doesn't live in the city. And I know you're going to tell me, well, that's the mayor and the council's job, and I understand that. But you've got to understand the police chief, as we've seen, can have a big influence on policy and what happens. I mean, we had the police chief, Paul Prine, came out against the, no-knock warrants no-knock warrants is something they weren't doing anyway, but pre-dawn raids. He came out against pre-dawn raids, and, like, that's dictating what the policy is. If you come out strong against something, whether you're on the council or not, that is, you know, dictating policy. And I think you ought to live in the city where you're have an influence on policy, even if you're not an elected official. That being said, I know that there was a lot of talk early on in the Spence administration about a lot of folks that didn't live within the city that worked in the executive branch. And I would agree with that too. If you're working for the city, you're getting paid with taxpayer dollars. You're taking those taxpayer dollars out to, you know, Fairhope or Daphne and stuff like that.
Richardson also wanted to have like an occupational tax for people from the Eastern Shore coming to work in Mobile too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit harder for me to swallow. I'll be honest, but I mean, I think as far as you can control, you know, you have control over who you hire and what they're willing to do, or what they're not willing to do, and I just feel like, you know, if you work somewhere, you should, you know, and you have a guideline that allows you to work somewhere, you should follow it. Now, and I think one of those guidelines should be that you live in the city you serve. So I am surprised that it's so high. I think it'd be closer to 50-50.
I did too. When they first started it this morning, when they put up the online opinion poll question, I thought I'd come in and hit it on the screen here. It'd be 50-50 or thereabouts, 60-40. But yeah, it's right now 90-10 on that, you know, and this is, and I told everybody, even if it's not, we say Mobile because that's the story right now. But yeah, people can fill in the blank: Somerdale, Loxley. You can put, put in your city and apply it to yourself if you don't live in the city limits. But that is a little side discussion here. That if I said to Councilman Woods, I said, if somebody stops you in the airport and you're from, you know, you're from Saraland or you're from Satsuma, where are you from? Mobile, right? I mean, people say, I mean, they don't. Maybe Eastern Shore people say something different, but you know, I would say within Mobile County, people who are close to the city, they just say they live in Mobile.
I mean, for years, I lived in Loxley. I said Baldwin County, and if people are like, "Well, where's Baldwin County?" Yeah, near Mobile. So I get it. It was, you know, when you go off and you live somewhere else, people don't always know the geography of your local area. So I get that. whether or not you say Mobile, whether you live in Mobile or not, should have no bearing on whether you're required to live there, having served the city. But I get that point, that it's, you know, it's, if it's close enough, I guess it's close enough. But
okay. Well, but, it's 90-10 right now, so we'll see if that changes after this discussion. Y'all can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com, right there on the right-hand side. So as a ordinance, what do you see happening? You write this story about this. You know, the city council, I mean, you had Josh Woods, like you quoted in the story, he's saying that yes. I guess others are saying no.
Well, you had one councilman I spoke to, Ben Reynolds, who said that he didn't really care. Like he said, you know, you spend a lot of your time at the office, so, you know, what's the difference of whether you're at your office or at your house? That was his argument. So you know, fair enough. I don't know if there'll be an ordinance adopted about this or not. It was just a question that I had, given that, you know, we kind of found out, you know, there was a lot of questions asked about Paul Prime, whether he would run for mayor. He was a little bit coy on the subject when he was asked directly about, you know, his plans to run for mayor. And a lot of us wrote stories saying that he, you know, he might run for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Found out, doing some research, found out that he was, you know,
not a resident
in Saraland.
Yeah.
Makes it hard to run for mayor if you live in Saraland. I mean, granted, he's got, you know, got what, 14 months?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he could move into the city of Mobile, but I don't find that particularly likely for reasons. You know, that's what brought this to my mind, is I'd like to, you know, like to write a story just to see if in the future they would be willing to look at whether at least the fire chief and police chief.
Yeah, we're having a little trouble hearing you too. The phone's like, maybe get a signal here. You got to put the antenna up on that phone.
Yeah, I got you. Sorry. Picking up a little bit, yeah. Like I said, it's kind of an enterprise story. I don't think there's any movement one way or the other. I was curious and I asked the question of the council members.
Gotcha. And I don't know if you got to move out of the lead, one of those lead rooms you got there at the Landnap offices or not, but getting near a window, the signal is...
All right, hold on.
Yeah, there we go.
Hold on a second.
There we go. Lots of lead rooms at the Landnap offices, so, you know, I know that's part of what y'all do to keep away from the radiation.
Hold on a second.
Okay, we're standing by. We're standing by for our buddy Dale Leash from Landnap, landnapmobile.com, a guy who writes what he wants, and he asks you to vote for his other co-workers at Landnap as your favorite writer. I do want to, before we wrap up today, too, I want to get in your story about, I haven't even gotten to address this week on the show, but I want to, maybe next week, the rescheduling of marijuana, this change to a Schedule 3 from what was a Schedule 1 drug before. And you wrote a story, does this or does not affect Alabama's medical cannabis, you know, which is already a dumpster fire of its own. Does this affect it, make it any worse?
I don't think, the expert I spoke to, they didn't seem to think it would impact it one way or the other. In fact, a lot of them said it would make it easier, especially for dispensaries who want to do this in the future, to have more banking options looking into loans and transactions.
If it's Schedule 1, okay. Can you, because that was always the thing about the recreational marijuana, right? That those people out in other states that have recreational, they got to do all the stuff in cash because the banks can't take the money because it's against the federal code. So if it's Schedule 1, can you bank that money? Well, we've lost Dale. Dale, if you can hear me, we appreciate it, and I'm going to get everybody to vote for you in the nappies, whether you like it or not. And we'll get him out of the lead room by next week and get a better signal. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment brought to you by my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And Man, there's some gorgeous boats on the lot. Both locations, Orange Beach and right here in Mobile, not far from us, on the East I-65 service road there. You'll on the Beltline. You'll see the boats. You'll know you're in the right place. Right there north of Dolphin and south of Old Shell. While you're there, too, check out. It's, right now, they've got the incentive pricing still going on. I don't know when this ends, but I know as of this week, it was still on. Incentive pricing on Regulator, Jupiter, Solace, which is that boat I told you about that is so revolutionary. And I'm not just throwing that around. That Solace boat, you need to go out there, just look at it. Boat freaks like me, even if you're not in the market for the boat, go look at it. It's like the stuff on there. You'd be like, okay, that's cool. Solace, Albemarle, and Bulls Bay. Boats all with incentive pricing going on right now. And you can check those boats out in person. And also, just while I got a second, if you're looking to get another boat and you got one on your hands now, selling your higher-end used boat is not something you have to do on your own. It's something that they've been doing for 50 years at Blue Water Yacht Sales at brokerage on boats. And I remember, a year or two ago, when Forrest said, hey, man, I want to talk about the brokerage service we do. I said, okay. And I just don't, I mean, he and I have known each other forever. I said, why would I get you to sell my boat? Right? Because I've sold a lot of boats in my life. And he kind of went through the list. He said, what if you didn't have to do all the stuff, which is the taking all the phone calls, running down to Navco Park to take somebody on a test ride, getting tire kickers who are not even interested in the boat. They're just, trying to burn through a Saturday, whatever. You do all that stuff. He said, what if I told you you didn't have to do that stuff and you would get just as much for your boat as you would doing that? I said, well, you got my attention. And the way he does it is they know in this brokerage network the market for people looking for the boat you have. And they might not be right here in our area. They may be, 5 hours away, 6 hours away, but they have a network of these people that are looking for boats for clients of, certain boats, certain models, those things. And so they get top dollar for the boats. So you take it to Blue Water Yacht Sales, you get them to take a look at it. They'll do all the tune-up work, any kind of repairs that need done, so it's cherry, so it's perfect when it goes onto the market, and they get you top dollar, and you don't have to deal with all the grief in selling it. So it's a good thing. So go talk to them about brokerage on the current boat and check out those incentives on Regulator, Jupiter, Solace, Albemarle, and Bulls Bay going on right now at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And you can check them out in person. That's the most fun. Or check them out at online, bluewateryachtsales.net, and go tell Forrest I said hi. All right. By the way, this controversy, thank you, Superbomb, for we're now getting who asked, what is the causeway? Is it still the causeway? Like if you're heading westbound and you go and you turn, now you're heading north, is that still the causeway? The causeway. And I argued that it was the Cochrane Causeway, and then somebody else said it, it's alternate 90 or Old Spanish Trail. And then I had somebody text in here, unnamed texter, but said the addresses say Baybridge Road. I've heard that a bunch of my life too. So I don't know what the official, is it the Cochrane Causeway? Is it Old Spanish Trail? Is it Baybridge Road? That section from where the Bankhead is, so you were heading westbound, now going northbound, from where the Bankhead is, starting there till you get onto the bridge, the Cochrane-Africatown Bridge. What is that called? It's another one of our talkers today. And speaking of talkers, too, the online opinion poll question. Looks like after our conversation with Dale, still getting, overwhelmingly still staying on the no side. It's moved a little bit here. Yeah, so 86% of people say, the question is, should the Mobile police chief be required to live within the city limits of Mobile? 86% of y'all say no, 14% saying yes. You can vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, Oh, this is cool. I mean, I know there's a lot of other texts coming in here, but Jesse just sent me a picture of the Civic Center, because we were talking about the rebuild of the Civic Center. Civic Center is selling the spotlights from the Civic Center. The ones they were used up there, up above, we just shoot down on the stage. Civic Center is selling it. Jesse said Civic Center is selling these bad boys, these old here magnet dinosaurs, a way to warm your entire house with yellow light atrocities. Yeah, it looks like, is that on Facebook? That's for sale? I think it is. So, Civic Center, the spotlights from the Civic Center. If I had the room to have that as just a curio in my house, would that not be? But yeah, right there. That's one of the spotlights from the Civic Center. They're on sale. I don't know if they're still for sale yet or not, but at least that's what it looks like here. Oh, and thanks. Michael saying here, Clint at Adventure Earth Bicycles really helpful with picking out my Mrs. Mother's Day bike. Good deal. Clint's good people. That's great. Listen, I've got this old guy back into bicycling after all these years with the e-bike. Yeah, go check him out. Great Mother's Day gift idea as well. Be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Check in with my man Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Hey, Blaine.
Hi, Sean.
So, anything? Because it's been people have been asking me about that 0%. I was actually talking to somebody the other day who's in another business selling vehicles and said, man, I wish if we could get that, we could, you know, we could do something. It's quite popular here, 0% in this market.
Absolutely. So, yeah, all of our Kubota and Land Pride equipment, all of that qualifies for zero interest financing. It's not just tractors. It's not just mowers. I know the mowers, they go out to like 60 months at zero interest. And the tractors, some of the models, they will go out to 84 months at zero interest. So it's a big thing. And it's not just on tractors and mowers. It's on the construction equipment as well, the skid steers, the mini excavators, all that. And that zero interest is very popular.
Yeah, it's got people talking even in other businesses. They're like, hey, man, I heard Blaine. I'd like that, too. And also got a question just the other day, too, about the rentals. Because I think you and I were talking about skid steers or something, and they said they rent those,
right,
too. And I said, yeah, and you do them, and you can deliver them, too.
Exactly. So we got a ton of skid steers and mini excavators in our rental fleet, along with tractors, some tractor loader backhoes, all the different implements you can think of to go on the skid steers, the tractors. But we also rent a lot of small stuff as well. So if you got any type of project, at home projects, or you're a contractor out on a job and you don't own that piece of equipment, come see us, call us, because there's a good chance that we own that piece of equipment that you can rent for that specific job and not have to purchase it.
That's right. And and you've said before, if you don't for some reason have it with all that stuff you have in Robertsdale, you can get it from y'all's other locations pretty quickly.
Absolutely. That's another thing I wanted to point out was, you know, people ride by all the time and don't even get out of the truck, mm-hmm, just because we don't have it or they didn't see it. Well, we got three other stores right now over in Mississippi that you can't see from Baldwin County. So there's a good chance I can have it here tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so y'all go in or just holler at Blaine. So if they want to call you and check on a piece of equipment or look at something they want to rent or buy, how do they do it?
Absolutely. Come by, see us, or you can just give us a call, 251-947-4171. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays from 8 till noon.
Good stuff, Blaine. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There's Blaine Price over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Let's get some text here, because they have stacked up. Let me get, and we have a little bit of debate about the Bay Bridge. Okay, we'll get back to that. Joshua says the best police chief so far for Mobile. So grow up. The discussion of whether, and I think it's 86-14 right now. 86% of people say the police chief should not have to live in the city. 14% say they should. The now there's quite a few people that are bashing on Dale Leisha's cell phone. I probably will join in with you because I like to tease him. Yes. Oh, but this one says, okay, maybe Dale should just stick to writing stories within the city he lives in. But he lives in Mobile. He lives in Mobile, so I guess he could just write. And he mostly writes Mobile stories, but does write outside. You know, but he does live in Mobile. Grew up in Loxley, moved around, but he lives in Mobile now. Yes, more. Barty saying Dale needs to upgrade his Jitterbug phone. I think a Jitterbug phone has better connection. I think it's the lead rooms they have down at the Landyap offices. Y'all call down there and ask them if they have, yes, thank you, Faraday room. That's what I was thinking earlier. If they have a Faraday room down there. Somebody had just texted that. Also, Baybridge Road, saying Baybridge Road's in front of Kimberly Clark, goes to 43 in Chickasaw. Yeah, that's why I know it, because I lived in Chickasaw. But so if y'all were catching the show late, the debate started, I think, last hour when Supermom asked on the text line, what is the, when the causeway, you know, let's say you're heading westbound on the causeway and you don't go through the Bankhead Tunnel, right? You go north there. What is that called? Some people said it's still the causeway. I said Cochrane Causeway. I always heard it called. I think I have some people agree with me there. Somebody else said Old Spanish Trail. I know it's alternate 90, but I mean, it has a number, but it has the name. I called it Cochrane Causeway. Let's see here. Okay, uh-oh, now we have something here. Sir James of Locksley. So, James, did you know Dale when he was Dale of Locksley? Sir James of Locksley said, good afternoon, Sean. The GPS calls the causeway the Battleship Parkway. Thank you. That's correct. But does it, if you're driving on the Battleship Parkway, and thank you, Sir James, because you're right, and that was just why that didn't come to me right away, when I kept saying the causeway, causeway. So the Battleship Parkway, causeway, when you then turn and go north, there's some kind of change there, and that's where it becomes Cochrane Causeway. We should come up with a guy has a great book, Old Mobile Trivia, but we should come up like with a board game. It'd be like Trivial Pursuit, but just questions like, what does the causeway become when it goes past the Bankhead Tunnel? This texter says, oh, it doesn't have Meta. Of course it is. Doesn't have Meta. On the text line, does Adventure Earth have a trick freestyle electric bike? As an adult, I now have the means to build all those ramps that I wanted to when I was a kid. I don't, we can find out. Clint, do you have a trick bike? I think Statue of Limitations has run out, and I think doesn't have Meta. I think you and I are close to the same age. But I may or may not have been in violation of law back then. We didn't see a piece of plywood when we were a kid that was laying out that we didn't think was ours, right? And we go dragging it down the neighborhood street to go make some sort of contraption to ramp bikes off of. And then later on, people did it with, you got the wood for the skateboard ramps. But my gosh, did we drag some plywood off? I'm sorry to those builders back then, I apologize. I think Statute of Limitations is run, so all you'll get from me is an apology, but I'm sorry. Yeah, this is, it's, who had sent this? Oh, it's Jerry. Jerry had sent, I think before, said it would be cool if the debris from the Civic Center could be used to create a bay reef to protect the impact of the ship channel. Everyone seems to stay away from the fact that the ship channel is going to be bad for the entire region. I guess this is what happened when the Radcliffes were allowed to kill the original reefs. You know, and you're talking about the oyster harvest. And I'll say this, they didn't know that was happening back then. I mean, we used to use natural resources hand over fist, right? And not think about it. You never thought it was going away. So, I mean, put yourself in their time. But yeah, I mean, we're doing what we can to bring them back, right? I think this Shellevator thing is getting some traction. My buddy Ben Raines was on the other day talking about the Shellevator project. I'll see when hopefully they move to the next round in that award, Elon Musk award. If y'all haven't seen that, you can go or hear about it. You can go listen to the podcast when Ben Raines was in talking about the Shellevator, the thing that elevates and descends for oyster growth. It's pretty darn cool. I like it. Let's see here. Oh, Jerry said it was called Pinto Island. I think it's still called Pinto Island. Yeah, that on the that landmass there on the east side of the river, that is Pinto Island. But I don't think the actual roadway is called. I think it's Cochrane Causeway. But that is the physical land, Pinto Island. King of all unnamed texters say I call it the I-165 wannabe bypass. There you go. So just some nomenclature on area roads. Do we have anything new from? No. Okay. Testimony's restarting. Gosh, there's so much of this. I mean, I even doing this for a living, I have to go back and kind of catch up in the evenings on the testimony in the Trump trial, New York versus Trump trial. It's so much. I did see this, and I think this was finally what I was talking about in hour number one. I know George called and Gene had texted about it and all that they were now taking testimony from a bookkeeper. And I think that's more, if you're trying to make a case, which I may cynically think that they're really just using this trial majority trying to air the dirty laundry of Donald Trump. But if you're wanting to make it a FEC violation case, or like Georgia talked about, connecting all these different things together to make a conspiracy, you move on. You establish that here's a testimony that there was a sexual relationship, and then it was covered up. And then it seems like the money would be the thing they would spend all their time on. And I guess now they have moved to a bookkeeper that they're talking to, so we'll see where this comes. There's just so much of it. Yeah, you'd have to like have your only job would be sitting watching the Trump trial out there. And I got other things to do, so we'll figure out where it goes. And by the way, the story, somebody said the story I was talking to Dale about before his phone went on the fritz, it's a story about the reclassification. You saw this. So the DEA is moving to make marijuana a Schedule 3 drug, meaning it has medical uses. So it goes from Schedule 1, which put it in pretty tough neighborhood of drugs out there, to Schedule 3. Although I would point out that heroin or opium, those kind of things have medical uses too, and those are pretty darn heavy drugs. It says here, but and Dale Wright says, government officials set to reclassify marijuana to make its use less restrictive. Those involved in Alabama's medical cannabis rollout are not worried about it, that the move could negatively impact the embattled industry. A quote here from Director of Public Affairs, Hinosa, said today the Attorney General circulated a proposal to reclassify marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. Once published by the Federal Register, it will initiate a formal rulemaking process as prescribed by Congress in the Controlled Substances Act. I have a quote here from Sam Blakemore, a pharmacist and a member of the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, said, when I first saw it, I thought it was a good thing. I think it's going to open up the market to a lot of folks. I think it'll destigmatize it for a lot of folks. But it's still, even if they change, it's still going to be illegal. So I don't know how it would change. I don't know what this backlash, this throwing a, you know, throwing a Abu Garcia 5000 into the wind with a, you know, with a very light lure backlash that's formed with this Medical Cannabis Commission. You know, we had another in June, we're supposed to find out more stuff, but this is a couple of years now since this all started, and here we are. So I don't think this really makes a difference, the rescheduling, because it's still not going to change its legality in the state of Alabama. But that's the rest of the story. You can see that over at lanyapmobile.com. They've got it posted up, and it's got the details there as well. But yeah, from my reading on it, the Schedule 1 to 3 change for marijuana is not going to affect, Lord knows they don't need other effects for Alabama's medical marijuana. Also, the annual property tax increase bill is gone. I think it did. I don't know if it got signed today by the governor. I think it will get signed. This was a piece of legislation that came out of this session that I think is easier to understand, and I think it gets a lot of thumbs up from a lot of folks out there. Maybe even I would say bipartisan support. Craig Monger writes over at 1819 News said, legislation capping annual property tax increases at 7% is heading to Governor Ivey's desk to be signed into law. The House of Representatives approved slight changes to the legislation on Wednesday, then sent it to Ivey, who could either sign the bill into law, veto it, or suggest an executive amendment. House Bill 73, HB 73, would cap yearly property tax increases after reappraisal. The legislation was amended several times on the House floor, bringing the final capped amount to 7%. Initial bill capped residential property at 3% increase and commercial at 5%. But they did a floor amendment published by the League of Municipalities and County Commissions, amended it to 7%. I remember this hit me probably a decade ago when for seems like 3 or 5 years or something like that, we had real big increases in valuation and property tax. You go through the process to petition, to argue with it. But, I mean, it's a pain, and that doesn't mean they're going to say yes. But, yeah, now the cap is 7% annually, which is still obviously significant, but better than some of the places you heard about, 20% or so. Oh, and as we're tracking what they – because today's the last day of session, unless they unplug the clock or something like that in Montgomery, things they did not get done, right? A lot of people focus on the gambling thing, but one of those House bills that early on we talked about, they got a lot of conversation on this show. Looks like it went nowhere. How the House didn't made it out of committee, but didn't go much further. That was the squatted truck law. Remember the discussion of the they were going to make. Remember you would have to measure from the front bumper to the back bumper to see the difference. I forget what the actual law said
or that you would, like, so law enforcement was going to have to go and measure the distance from the front bumper to the ground, the back bumper to the ground, and there was a ratio between that would say whether a truck was in violation of the squatted truck law. I don't think that made it through. But at the same time, Fox 10 has a story up out of our neighbors to the west, said Mississippi, they passed it. So on Wednesday, Mississippi Department of Public Safety announced that Governor Tate Reeves had signed in House Bill 349. This is Mississippi. Makes it a misdemeanor to drive a squatted vehicle. So here's my worry. Here's, and by the way, in Mississippi, first offense would get you a $100 fine and a misdemeanor conviction. Second offense would come with a $200 fine. And third or subsequent offense within 5 years would net you a $300 fine and a suspended license for driving the squatted truck. So they passed their squatted truck law in Mississippi. It looks like we did not in Alabama. And I wonder if this is what's going to happen as people find a way. The way we've been talking about on gambling, there's not gambling here, but the people go into, well, not legal gambling here. People go into Mississippi to do casino gaming and buy lottery tickets. Will the people with squatted trucks in Mississippi start moving to Alabama for the liberty to be able to drive around looking like a moron with their flat bill hat and big hair and their Instagram handle on the back of the vehicle? I mean, will they migrate from Mississippi, where it's now illegal to drive the squatted truck, the Carolina squad? Will we have a big immigration of them coming into Alabama to find their freedom? I'll let you know when I find out. Be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Like 154 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And tomorrow on the road, live from the Eco Wild event. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Convention Center. Eco Wild folks, I know if you're listening, you saw the hubbub that happened because, God forbid, a alligator was at Water Street and the 65 connector. If you could get that same alligator to be there at the Convention Center, just lift him out of the Mobile River and put him in there. I think it might be one of the features that gets it. It's going to be a good time. If you have checked it out already, cool. If not, go check out the website for the Eco Wild event. Be down there starting with this show at noon, and it goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Mobile Convention Center. Going to be a lot of fun. And I think you still have another chance tomorrow to win tickets with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Thank you. People are sending me screenshots. This texter said, my non-jitterbug iPhone agrees with you, Sean. It is the Cochrane Causeway. All right, so this... You just joined the show late. It was a discussion started by Supermom on the text line of when you're going westbound on the causeway and you turn, you don't go in the Bankhead, but you turn and start going north. What's that called? I said, so we, it's good. Good. So we've come down to at least just two names for it. Tim and Foley said, does anybody remember the go-kart track in that section of the road east side back in the day across from the oil tracks, oil tanks? I don't remember the go-kart track. I need stories, Tim. That's, you had a go-kart track down there? That's okay. Pinto Island go-kart track. Somebody said Polecat Lane. That's what we should call it. I'll call it Polecat Lane. Dirt Digger. Back in the day, I jumped a ramp on Friday the 13th on a brand new bicycle, broke it in half, and I don't jump bicycles no more. Go. Like, it's, all I was doing is I thought I was out of the statute of limitations and saying that I may or may not have been party to moving some pieces of plywood to make bicycle ramps as a boy. I didn't know. If I did it, I wasn't doing it with malice. We just didn't know any better that if there was a piece of plywood that was unattended to, we thought it was probably there for us to go drag down the street to build a ramp. Let's see. Oh, the weed thing. Somebody said, great, that's all we need. You can't drive around Mobile without smelling it now. You know, that's what, and the sheriff, by the way, Sheriff Birch will be on with me Tuesday for Ask the Sheriff. You know, that's what he made that that program for Up and Smoke. We'll get a report on that, how that program has gone. The Up and Smoke program in Mobile County, which is what we talk about. If you got places where people are just smoking weed like it's legal, what gets done about it? I mean, there's only so many hours in the day for law enforcement, but it's a program the sheriff put in. We'll get a report on Tuesday about that. This texter says, James the Sad Troll said, well, of course they don't want it legal in Alabama, as broke needs that revenue. And let's see. This is our cap off for the evening. Thank you. It doesn't have medicine. That 15-foot gator spotted out at the GM&O building, and Mothra's ready to arrive at Brooklyn later this afternoon. Mothra's good stuff. Remember the old... I love a Godzilla movie. I need to get that with the son. Just a random movie where the people of Tokyo would always just be running. Like every scene, they're just running and pointing. And then he's... It's good stuff. Marty says, you old fart, don't hate on the ambassador. I wasn't hating on the ambassador, real. I was just saying the medical cannabis legislation in Alabama is as messed up as you took an ambassador with a real light lure with the cast control not set properly and threw it into about a 20-knot wind. That's how, to me, the medical cannabis rollout has looked in the state of Alabama. It's that kind of backlash. And let's see. And then Jerry says, you don't have to build a causeway on an island, bro. I don't know where that is, but we'll leave it till tomorrow. And yeah, the show will be live tomorrow from the convention center. And one last text from my buddy Ben. I mentioned with Mississippi passing their law for no squatted trucks with the fines, Alabama not passing that HB 35 or whatever it was. And I said, maybe we'll have people from Mississippi come here with their squatted trucks. Ben said, Alabama is now a sanctuary squatted truck state. With that, enjoy the Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.